I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On today's program, Dan Friedel has a report about the popular Korean television show Squid Game. Jill Robbins brings us a new edition of Ask a Teacher. We close with an American story. This week, it is Dr. Heidegger's Experiment by Nathaniel Hawthorne. But first, South Korea has established a special group to debate methods for living with COVID-19 in the long term. The country is making plans to reduce coronavirus restrictions and reopen the economy as vaccination levels rise. Under the strategy, the government aims to remove some coronavirus restrictions for citizens who can prove they have been fully vaccinated. It also aims to urge people who have mild COVID-19 symptoms and are under the age of 70 to recover at home, the health ministry said last week. The government will also pay greater attention to the number of hospitalizations and deaths instead of new daily infections. It is considering not publishing information on daily infection rates, South Korea's Yonhap news agency has reported. We will turn COVID-19 into a controlled infectious disease and no longer a fear of the unknown, Prime Minister Kim Boo-kyum told the group's first committee meeting on Wednesday. South Korea never put in place a full lockdown, but it has been under its most widespread social distancing measures since July. These restrictions include limited operating hours for food and drinking places and indoor exercise areas. The limits have hit self-employed people and small businesses especially hard. The country also has a limit on gatherings of more than 2 people after 6 at night in and around the capital, Seoul. In September, the government announced plans to speed up a step-by-step return to normalcy starting in November. At that time, 70% of its 52 million people are expected to be fully vaccinated. Currently, the country has given at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose to 78.1% of its population. Currently, over 60% are fully vaccinated. South Korea has kept hospitalizations and deaths at a fairly low rate. It had 359 severe cases of COVID-19 and a death rate of 0.78%. As of Tuesday, October 12th, official data showed. The country reported 1,584 new cases on Tuesday. It has recorded a total of 335,742 infections and 2,605 deaths.
A company offering online language learning services says more people are learning Korean after the launch of a popular Korean TV show on Netflix. The language learning company Duolingo reported the sharp increase in Korean learners. In Great Britain, 76% more people than usual signed up to learn Korean. In the U.S., the number increased by 40% after the show started 2 weeks ago. The nine-part show is another example of Korean popular culture that has found success in the West. It comes after pop songs by the music group BTS and the international success of the movies Parasite and Minari. Parasite won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 2020. Korean culture is making a connection with English speakers. Recently, the Oxford English Dictionary added 26 new words that come from the Korean language, including Hallyu, which means Korean wave. Hallyu is how people are describing the success of Korean pop culture outside of Asia. Sam Dalsimer is a spokesman for Duolingo. In an email to the Reuters news agency, he said, "What happens in pop culture and media often influences trends in language and language learning." Dalsimer noted that as Korean film, music, and television get more popular, more people will want to learn the language. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in welcomed the additions to the dictionary and the interest in the language. He called the Korean alphabet an example of South Korea's soft power. The Korea Foundation for International Cultural Exchange said there are about 77 million people around the world who speak Korean. Duolingo said about 8 million people are trying to learn Korean through its service. That is second only to Hindi. South Korea's King Sejong Institute teaches the language around the world. The Cultural Institute is named after the South Korean king, credited with inventing the Korean alphabet. 14 years ago, only 740 students in three countries were learning Korean through the organization. Now, it teaches 76,000 students in 82 countries. Milica Martinovich is one of the institute's students in Russia. She said she started learning Korean so she could understand popular music and television shows in Korean. Katarina Costa is a 24-year-old from Portugal. She lives in Toronto, Canada. She is studying Korean online through a website called TalkToMeInKorean.com. When she first started studying 2 years ago, many of her friends did not understand her interests. Now they do. "People are fascinated when I say that I am learning Korean," Costa said. Sun Hyun-woo started TalkToMeInKorean. He said there are now 1.2 million people studying the language in 190 countries using his website. He said, even before the success of BTS and Korean TV shows and movies, thousands of people wanted to learn the language, but they were doing it alone. Now, they are part of a global phenomenon. Learning Korean has turned into a much cooler pastime, he said. I'm Dan Friedel.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Hello. This week's question on Ask a Teacher comes from Nitin in India. He asked us on YouTube, could you tell me the use and meaning of these two words, nevertheless and anyway? Dear Nitin, thank you for writing to us. Anyway is an adverb. That means it describes or gives us more information about a verb or adjective. The usual meaning is similar to in any case, or even though something else is true. Let us look at some examples of how we use it.
I think Candace will not read my message, but I'm going to write to her anyway.
In this statement, the speaker is writing despite the fact that the message is not likely to be read. Another meaning of anyway is to give more force to a question, as in,
you can't go to the front of the line. Who do you think you are, anyway?
And a third way to use anyway is to add or make a change to something that was said before.
I'm sorry. You can't go to the park today. Anyway, it's going to rain.
An informal word that is used like anyway is anyhow. You also asked about the word nevertheless. It is an adverb too, and it means in spite of something that was said before. It is more formal and sounds a little old-fashioned when compared to anyway. For example,
COVID-19 infection rates are falling in my state. Nevertheless, we should still follow the safety guidelines.
Other words or expressions you may see that can serve the same purpose as anyway are anyways, nonetheless, regardless, in any case, and at any rate. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Jill Robbins.
Today, we present the short story, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment, by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
¶¶ That very unusual man, old Dr. Heidegger, once invited four friends to meet him in his office. There were three white-bearded gentlemen, Mr. Medbourne, Colonel Killigrew, and Mr. Gascoigne. And there was a thin old lady whose husband had died, so she was called the Widow Wycherly. They were all sad old creatures who had been unfortunate in life. As a young man, Mr. Medbourne had lost all his money in a badly planned business deal. Colonel Killigrew had wasted his best years and health enjoying the pleasures of women and drink. Mr. Gascoigne was a ruined politician with an evil past. As for the Widow Wycherly, tradition tells us that she was once a great beauty, but shocking stories about her past had led the people of the town to reject her, so she lived very much alone. It is worth stating that each of these three men were early lovers of the Widow Wycherly, and they had once been on the point of killing each other over her. "My dear old friends," said Dr. Heidegger, "I would like your help in one of my little experiments." He motioned for them to sit down. Dr. Heidegger's office was a very strange place. The dark room was filled with books, cobwebs, and dust. An old mirror hanging between two bookcases was said to show the ghosts of all the doctor's dead patients. On another wall hung a painting of the young woman Dr. Heidegger was to have married long ago. But she died the night before their wedding after drinking one of the doctor's medicines. The most mysterious object in the room was a large book covered in black leather. It was said to be a book of magic. On the summer afternoon of our story, a black table stood in the middle of the room. On it was a beautiful cut glass vase. Four glasses were also on the table. Dr. Heidegger was known for his unusual experiments, but his four guests did not expect anything very interesting. The doctor picked up his black leather book of magic. From its pages, he removed a dried-up old rose. "This rose," said the doctor, "was given to me 55 years ago by Sylvia Ward, whose painting hangs on this wall. I was to wear it at our wedding. Would you think it possible that this ancient rose could ever bloom again?" "Nonsense," said the Widow Wycherly with a toss of her head. "You might as well ask if an old woman's lined face could ever bloom again." "See," answered Dr. Heidegger. He reached for the vase and threw the dried rose into the water it contained. Soon a change began to appear. The crushed and dried petals moved and slowly turned from brown to red. And there was the rose of half a century looking as fresh as when Sylvia Ward had first given it to her lover. "That is a very pretty trick," said the doctor's friends. "What is the secret?" "Did you ever hear of the Fountain of Youth?" asked Dr. Heidegger. "The Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon went in search of it centuries ago. But he was not looking in the right place. If I am rightly informed, the famous Fountain of Youth is in southern Florida. A friend of mine has sent me the water you see in the vase. The doctor filled the four glasses with water from the Fountain of Youth. The liquid produced little bubbles that rose up to the silvery surface. The old guests agreed to drink the water, although they did not believe in its power. "Before you drink, my friends," the doctor said, "you should draw up a few general rules as guidance before you pass a second time through the dangers of youth. You have had a lifetime of experience to direct you. Think what a shame it would be if the wisdom of your experiences did not act as a guide and teacher." The doctor's four friends answered him with a laugh. The idea that they would ever repeat the mistakes of their youth was very funny. "Drink, then," said the doctor. "I am happy that I have so well chosen the subjects of my experiment." They raised the glasses to their lips. If the liquid really was magical, it could not have been given to four human beings who needed it more. They seemed as though they had never known youth or pleasure. They looked like they had always been the weak, unhappy creatures who were bent over the doctor's table. They drank the water. There was an almost immediate improvement among the guests. A cheerful glow like sunshine brightened their faces. They looked at one another, imagining that some magic power had really started to smooth the lines on their faces. "Quick, give us more of this wondrous water," they cried. "We are younger, but we are still too old." "Patience," said Dr. Heidegger, who watched the experiment with scientific coolness. "You have been a long time growing old. Surely you could wait half an hour to grow young." Again, he filled their glasses. The four guests drank the liquid in one swallow. As the liquid passed down their throats, it seemed to change their whole systems. Their eyes grew clear and bright. Their hair turned from silver to darker shades.
"My dear widow, you are lovely," cried Colonel Killigrew, who watched as the signs of age disappeared from her face. The widow ran to the mirror. The three men started to behave in such a way that proved the magic of the Fountain of Youth's water. Mr. Gascoigne's mind turned to political topics. He talked about nationalism and the rights of the people. He also told secrets softly to himself. All this time, Colonel Killigrew had been shouting out happy drinking songs while his eyes turned towards the curvy body of the widow Wycherly. Mr. Medbourne was adding dollars and cents to pay for a proposed project. It would supply the East Indies with ice by linking a team of whales to the polar icebergs. As for the widow Wycherly, she stood in front of the mirror, greeting her image as a friend she loved better than anything in the world.
"My dear old doctor," she cried, "please
Give me another glass.
The doctor had already filled the glasses again. It was now near sunset, and the room was darker than ever. But a moon-like light shined from within the vase. The doctor sat in his chair, watching. As the four guests drank their third glass of water, they were silenced by the expression on the doctor's mysterious face. The next moment, the exciting rush of young life shot through their blood. They were now at the happy height of youth. The endless cares, sadness, and diseases of age were remembered only as a troubled dream from which they had awoken. "We are young," they cried. The guests were a group of happy youngsters, almost crazy with energy. They laughed at the old-fashioned clothing they wore. They shouted happily and jumped around the room. The widow Wycherly, if such a young lady could be called a widow, ran to the doctor's chair and asked him to dance.
"Please excuse me," answered the doctor quietly. "My dancing days were over long ago, but these three young men would be happy to have such a lovely partner."
The men began to argue violently about who would dance with her. They gathered around the widow, each grabbing for her. Yet by a strange trick, owing to the darkness of the room, the tall mirror is said to have reflected the forms of three old gray men competing for a faded old woman. As the three fought for the woman's favor, they reached violently for each other's throats. In their struggle, they turned over the table. The vase broke into a thousand pieces. The water of youth flowed in a bright stream across the floor. The guests stood still. A strange coldness was slowly stealing over them all. They looked at Dr. Heidegger, who was holding his treasured rose. The flower was fading and drying up once more. The guests looked at each other and saw their looks changing back.
"Are we grown old again so soon?" they cried.
In truth, they had. The water of youth had powers that were only temporary.
"Yes, friends, you are old again," the doctor said. "And the water of youth lies wasted on the ground. But even if it flowed in a river at my door, I still would not drink it. This is the lesson you have taught me."
But the doctor's four friends had learned no such lesson. They decided at that moment to travel to Florida and drink morning, noon, and night from the fountain of youth.
You have heard the American story, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment, by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein. I'm Mario Ritter. Listen again next week for another American story.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.